Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us this week. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy week to listen this week. I want to take a moment before we jump in this week and remind everybody to join us this September, September 13th to the 16th in Indianapolis at the Crown Plaza Union Station, our usual venue. We expect to have everybody back in person this year for 4 days, 4 days this year, not the usual three, 4 days of transportation forecasting and fun to give you all the transportation intelligence you need to plan your business for the year ahead. We're going to have a little bit different format this year. Each mode's going to have their own day. We're going to start with truck and trailer equipment on Tuesday. We're going to have truck freight on Wednesday, rail freight on Thursday, and rail equipment on Friday. Do plan to join us. You should see registration for that over the next month. You should see email notifications about that and be able to go to the website and sign up now to make sure that you have your place with us in Indianapolis this September. And with that, let's turn our attention to this week. And I have some good news for once. Volume levels have started to show some signs of life, particularly in the intermodal space. This is the first time in a while we've been able to say that. It's been nearly 10 months of essentially the status quo in the intermodal business. So it is a banner week. It is a week where we can say we are finally starting to see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, a little bit of sense of things moving in the right direction. So let's drill down and let's take a look at it. Let's look at what those numbers tell us. And you can see that we're on a steady trajectory over the last several weeks above our five-year average, moving back toward where we were last year, moving back to last year's levels. And I will remind you that this time last year, intermodal was running at very strong levels. So the fact that we are making a charge back to those 2021 levels, that's a good sign. Now, will it be sustained? Will we be able to actually get there? Those are all great questions still unanswered, but they are positive that we are moving in the right direction. We are getting there. Now, comparisons get substantially easier as you get to the end of the second quarter and certainly into the back half of the year. But for the moment, the fact that we are approaching those levels, that's a great sign for intermodal. Now, unfortunately, all of the growth is coming from containers because on the trailer fleet, it is very weak. It is down over 15% year over year. We are well off our five-year average. We have declined for the last 3 weeks, and we have taken a further step down each and every week, right to about 20,000 carloads a week. And that's very interesting. It's interesting that the trailer market, even with diesel, seeing the spike that it has seen over the last month, there isn't this demand to take those trailers off the highway, put them on rail, and save the long-haul diesel fuel costs. We have not seen that. Now, there are a lot of things that could be driving that. It could be a loosening parcel market. It could be owner-operators not wanting to give up that business quite yet. There are lots of things that could be driving it. But so far, the trailer market, despite a fuel price that would suggest it to be attractive, we have not seen people take advantage in the trailer space. Now, it is possible some of the strength we're seeing in containers are folks trying to not move that container or not move that container's freight inland via the highway. That is certainly a possible reason for what we've seen over the last month or so, because the timing of the increase in containers does dovetail very nicely with the increase in diesel prices. We just don't know, but we're taking it certainly as a good sign overall, a good sign for an intermodal industry, an intermodal sector that has struggled really since the middle of last year to find any good news. We will take this. We will take this and we will run with it as long as it goes, as long as it takes. So let's switch gears a little bit and let's talk about the carload markets. And the carload markets, yes, the news is okay, but it's not nearly as bullish as what we're seeing on the intermodal side. We are above 2021 levels in the carload markets. We have moved up for three consecutive weeks in the carload markets, but we're still well below our five-year average. We're not quite seeing the same strong growth that we're seeing in intermodal on the carload side. It's more of an inching up slowly over time over the last few weeks. When we look at economically sensitive freight, it shows much more of an intermodal-esque picture. You're seeing a little bit more momentum, particularly over the last 2 weeks, with some strong gains week over week, as well as year over year. Particularly in the latest week, we are making a run at the five-year average in the economically sensitive freight. If you've listened to this podcast regularly, you know I have trumpeted economically sensitive freight as a canary in the coal mine, as something we really need to watch, something that needs to be a driver of volume growth. This is a good sign. You know, if it holds up, it's only a couple of weeks. Certainly 2 weeks out of a 52-week year do not make or break anything, but they certainly are a good sign in a sector that we are searching for good signs in. Now, to remind everybody at FTR, when we talk about economically sensitive freight, that means we pull out the coal, we pull out the agriculture, we pull out the petroleum. We look at just those sectors that are more closely tied to the underlying economy, things like metals, things like lumber and wood, things like pulp and paper, automotive, those sorts of sectors. So these are the sectors that are more closely tied to that underlying economy, and things look good, at least over the last couple of weeks. Let's switch gears. Let's talk about those bulk markets. Coal has been a bright spot. Now, it's no longer increasing the way it was earlier in the year, but it's not decreasing either. It is holding its own at a strong level just below its five-year average. And I will remind everybody that the five-year average for coal, getting back to the five-year average for most commodity groups, would be average, would be bland. For the coal market that has such headwind and such structural decline expectations built in, to get back to a five-year average where there weren't those expectations, that's a positive number. That is a bullish number. The fact that we are within spitting distance of that five-year average, the fact that we are above last year, that's a sign that the coal market is going to continue to move relatively well as we go through the year. Now, natural gas prices are up above $5 from MMBtu. That certainly helps. I'm not going to sit here and say that it doesn't help. It certainly helps support coal over the course of 2022. But as we get into the second quarter, utilities are going to have to make decisions about the summer. And with gas prices where they are, coal is certainly going to be attractive and certainly going to be something that you would think domestic utilities are going to get out in front of and build up their inventories ahead of the summer burn season, but time will tell. Looking at the other major bulk sector, looking at the grain markets, grain has certainly disappointed. It has been a little bit weaker than expected, certainly since things got hot in Eastern Europe. Things you expected the grain volumes to see a bounce from that. You expected to see a bump from that, particularly when a third of global grain exports come off of the market. Somebody has to pick up that slack, and those somebodies really are South America or North America. And so you expected to see this number inflect a little bit. It has not so far. We are down below our five average. We are down below last year. Part of that could be the fact that the Canadian harvest was so poor last year because of all the fires, all the heat on the prairies. It is possible that we won't see this inflect until the second half of the year as we start to get more of a harvest in this year. But you would expect to see this number certainly inflect, certainly be a driver of carload growth as we go into the back half of the year. The chemical sector, going back to those economically sensitive carload commodities, you look at the chemical sector and it continues to be a bastion of growth. It continues to be a sector that drives growth. We're above our five-year average, we're above last year, and we're moving higher. This shouldn't surprise anybody. The investment thesis for chemicals production along the Gulf Coast is strong. And when you think about chemicals volumes, when you think about how they are produced, their production process, Natural gas is a feedstock. Yes, natural gas has increased. It has not increased nearly as much as the price of crude. That means that if you're a U.S. chemical producer, you have an outsized cost advantage to serve global markets, which is what the Gulf Coast capacity that is being built and over the last 5 years and will be built over the next 5 years is there to serve. It is to serve export markets. You have an additional cost advantage over your foreign competitors. That should stimulate additional chemicals volume as we go forward. Petroleum products volumes have not shown the same strength. I know there was a lot of optimism around this commodity type, particularly as crude ran up to $100 and then $120 a barrel, and even where it is at the moment, folks wanted to see additional crude by rail come online, and it has not done so. And it has not done so, as we've explained, because it's not about the absolute price of the crude. It is about the spread between regions for that crude. And what we're seeing is that the rising tide lifted all boats. The spread really didn't change. And so there really isn't the economic incentive for folks to move crude out of Canada down to the U.S. Gulf Coast to access global markets. Until that changes, petroleum products is going to be a sector that's going to have some headwinds, certainly. Stone, sand, and gravel, we had a seasonal uptick about a month ago. Since then, it's been a pretty flat line. We have not moved up. We have not continued to move up. We are above last year's levels, yes, but we're still below the five-year average. We are not seeing an influx of drilling sand. We are not seeing an influx of some of those other commodities. We're just sort of seeing the normal seasonal demand and then just hanging out there. And it's been that way for the last few weeks. We would expect that to continue. Looking at lumber and wood, not a whole lot of movement in this commodity over the last month. If you were to smooth it out and look on a four-week average basis, there really wasn't any movement at all. Really very close to the five-year average, a little bit below last year, a little bit above last year, pardon me. Just sort of treading water, if you will. And we'll have to watch this as we go forward, whether it can continue to tread water as we go forward in time. With mortgage rates ticking up yet again, with housing being a huge driver of lumber demand, if housing slows down as mortgage rates go up, this is a sector where you could certainly see some volume declines as we go forward. Pulp and paper volumes continued the slow increase they've been on over the last month. They're now almost back to last year's levels, but they're still well off of the five-year average. They're gaining off of a very low level. We will have to see whether they're able to get back to their five-year average or whether they're going to continue to be mired down here below their five-year average as they have been for all of 2022 and for a little bit of the back half of 2021, particularly as the economy reopens, as things normalize, there's less pulp board demand, there's less box board demand. We will have to see what pulp and paper does as the year goes on. Automotive volumes over the last month to 6 weeks have been fairly flat. We are now above last year. We are essentially at our five-year average number, and we will have to see what is able to happen as we go forward. We're certainly seeing some additional automotive movements, but we're also seeing additional shutdowns coming in April. We're seeing long Easter vacations at some plants. We are seeing that the supply chain for semiconductors and other parts is not back to 100%. It is not back to normal. Until it is, this number is going to struggle. This number is going to be restrained until things fully normalize in that sector. And when that is, nobody knows. We have certainly pushed out our expectations into 2023 for a full resumption of the supply chain, for a full resumption of volumes in the automotive sector. We will have to see if that comes true. As we get into the second quarter, as we continue to see additional plant shutdowns, that is something we're going to keep our eye on as we go forward. And so to wrap up, intermodal and carload are showing signs of maybe turning the corner, particularly in the intermodal markets. Intermodal is a lot stronger than carload, has a lot more favorable fundamentals with it as we go forward. We will have to see, but it appears that we're turning the corner. It's been down for the better part of a year. In the intermodal space, in intermodal's case, for carload, it's been more than that. We will have to see if they're truly turning the corner or if this is just a flash in the pan. And service, unfortunately, is not getting better anytime soon. We continue to see service issues. We continue to see train delays. We continue to see folks adding to their fleets in response. That could prove to be counterproductive. Time will tell. We will just have to see how it all plays out. And with that, I'd like to thank you all for joining me this week. I appreciate it. If you ever have a question about what you're hearing in the podcast, what you're hearing in the reports, what you're seeing in your own business, feel free to reach out. We love to talk about the industry, talk about the marketplace. We're always happy to have those discussions. And with that, hope you have a great week. We will talk to you again next week. I am Todd Chernowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.